And you might notice the shadow narrator surface when you start to feel good, or when life gets calm and your nervous system doesn't know how to relax. Or she might whisper something like, "This won't last," or "Something bad always follows the good." Well, when that happens, pause, breathe, remind yourself the body is simply adjusting to peace, and peace can feel foreign if chaos used to be your baseline. That's not regression. That's just recalibration. Spiritually, this process is alchemy, turning old narratives into wisdom. You're not erasing the chapters of heartbreak or insecurity or failure. You're distilling them. You're extracting the essence and the courage and the compassion and the self-awareness, and leaving the residue behind. I mean, the shadow narrator will always have her say. She will. She'll always be there. But over time, her tone changes. She becomes softer and wiser. A historian rather than a judge. And she remembers, but she no longer defines. Hello, hello, magical friends, yomis. My name is Raquel, and welcome to Your Own Magic, a podcast for the creative and the curious soul. And today's Magic Monday, I felt like talking a bit about our inner narrator. The power our inner narrator holds on us, on our lives. It's that voice inside of us that whispers what everything means to us, or shapes how we see our reality, how we see our life, how we see ourselves in our lives, and often holds the pen to our story. And here's the gift. You don't just have to listen to that voice. You can learn to simply edit it. You can rewrite it, choose a different tone. We're not stuck. We really can rewrite a whole new chapter if we really, really so choose to. So before we dive in, a little cosmic check-in. Tomorrow morning, the new moon in Libra, I'm so excited, arrives at 5:25 a.m. Pacific time. That's 8:25 a.m. Eastern time. Babies born tomorrow will be double Libras, and you might not be up at that time if you are on the West Coast like myself. I'm now in California, and I won't be up at 5:25 a.m. likely, at least not of my choosing. And guess what? That's completely okay, because the new moon energy doesn't just vanish if you're asleep. The cosmos obviously don't care if you're sipping your coffee or you're dreaming. The shift is still happening, right? So what matters more is your intention and your awareness. So if you miss the exact minute, you can still honor that energy when you wake up. A moment of stillness, or a journal prompt, or a breath space. Anything that says, I am aligned with this fresh start. And you don't have to force something spectacular at 5:25 a.m. Instead, just honor your rhythm and the truth that you're doing this your way, which you likely are. Anyway, but I just wanted to share that because I used to think I needed to wake up at that time. But no, I do not. And also this new moon in Libra, the energy is about balance. So this is about that relationship and harmony and partnership both with others and yourself. What I intend to do is I will rise a little later, obviously, make my cup of coffee, sit with my journal, and listen to what balance means for me right now. Which is something that I am really learning in a new way this season of my life, as I'm balancing a lot. I'll ask myself, what story am I telling about my relationships? Or what voice is dominating that story? And then I'll write a fresh intention or a line such as, I choose to narrate from care, clarity, and courage, instead of I'm struggling to keep up. So I'll also create a simple symbol or anchor that reminds me throughout this lunar cycle that this is my story now. So friends, as we step into the new moon moment together, know this, that you already hold the pen. You're already rewriting. The stars are simply nudging you to notice that you are the author. You are the narrator. You are the main character all at once. So those moments when you're driving, or you're doing the dishes, or you're scrolling mindlessly through social media, and then there's this quiet voice in your head narrating your life. Sometimes it's gentle, sometimes it's brutally honest, and it needs to let you know what you may want to pay attention to. And sometimes it's just plain rude, mean girl. That voice, that ongoing commentary, is what I call the inner narrator. It's a voice that decides the meaning behind everything. You spill your coffee on your shirt before work and it says, "Oh, of course, because you're such a mess right now." Or you see someone online post a perfect vacation pic and it whispers, "Oh, must be nice." Or you forget to reply to a text and it adds, "You're a bad friend." We rarely stop to question it because we've grown so used to believing that narrator is us. But it's not. It's just one voice of many. It's the storyteller your mind developed to make sense of things. And from a neurological perspective, the brain is constantly trying to build a coherence. It wants a storyline that explains who we are and why things happen. It wants to make sense of things. Psychologists call this our narrative identity. It's like a lifelong autobiography that we keep revisiting, often without realizing it. And the narrator, she's just trying to keep the story consistent. Even if the story is painful, it's familiar. And the brain equates familiarity with safety. That's why it can be so hard to believe something new about ourselves. Even positive change, like healing, success, love. This can all feel threatening to the old narrator who's used to chaos or scarcity or even self-doubt. So step one in rewriting our story is simply noticing the voice. Not trying to silence her, not judging her, just noticing. You might start by observing what tone your inner narrator takes. Is she sarcastic? Is she a little cautious? Is she a perfectionist? Is she dramatic? Is she motherly? Does she speak in absolutes, like always, never, everyone else, no one ever? Those are clues. Sometimes she sounds like a parent or a teacher or even the cultural voice that told us what success should look like. I mean, you might realize that your inner narrator is not necessarily mean. She's just repeating what she just once heard or what she wants to perhaps believe or help you pay attention to. She's a collage of voices that has shaped you. All right, so quick pause because I have to tell you about this book that completely took over my weekend. It's called Guardian Demon by Aurora Asher, and it's a romance starring a demon, and I actually found it pretty cozy. This one's a paranormal romance, which I'm obviously very into. Think literal grumpy sunshine energy. She's an angel named Sunshine, and he's a demon with a mysterious forgotten past. And it's the ultimate forbidden love setup, right? The book mixes humor and heart and just the right amount of heat, if you know what I'm saying. So it's the kind of story that reminds you why the grumpy sunshine trope is such a favorite, right? The banter, the tension, the redemption arc. Oh my gosh, it's so, so good. For those of you who love romantic fantasy fictions, you must read this. I started it thinking I'd read a couple chapters, and then I was up for a while laughing out loud, totally invested in this family of demons. Aurora Asher writes with so much wit and charm, and yeah, you can't help rooting for every single one of them. Plus the cover, the teal and yellow combo, it's just beautiful. Anyway, it's honestly the perfect spooky season read. It's not too dark or scary. It's just cozy and funny and romantic and, of course, a little spicy, which we love. And so if you love books like My Roommate is a Vampire by Jenna Levine or the Travis Baldry's Legends and Lattes series, then this is 100% your vibe. Guardian Demon by Aurora Asher is out now wherever books are sold, and there's a deluxe limited edition with gorgeous stenciled edges and bonus content, but only while supplies last. So grab it while you can. Again, that's Guardian Demon by Aurora Asher, a feel-good paranormal romance that'll totally charm the demon lover and angel believer in you. I've been talking about Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth for a while now. And for good reason, the herbal supplement designed to help women maintain optimal hormone levels. It's trusted by women all over the world, with more than 50,000 reviews and 98% recommending it to loved ones. And now you can take those results even further by pairing it with Happy Mammoth's prebiotic collagen protein, which is science-backed. I'll tell you all about it. This unique blend is designed to restore gut lining integrity, which plays a major role in supporting overall hormone balance. It helps to relieve occasional bloating and gas, reduce sugar cravings, and keep you feeling satisfied longer, support healthy, sustainable weight management, boost energy, and support general well-being. And because your gut directly affects your hormones, improving gut health can actually amplify your hormone harmony results so you can feel more like yourself again. And as someone in her mid-30s, I've really enjoyed adding the prebiotic collagen protein to my daily routine. Again, I'm lighted by the fact that it's backed by science and it's become a simple treat I look forward to whether I'm blending it into a smoothie or just mixing it up on the go. And the best part, Happy Mammoth is fully dedicated to women's health. Again, their products are made with science-backed ingredients, so no compromise ever. So you know you're getting quality that actually works. Right now, you can try prebiotic collagen protein and hormone harmony risk-free and get 15% off your entire first order with code MAGIC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com. Use code MAGIC for 15% off today. Now, here's where it gets tricky. When we compare ourselves to others, especially on social media, which we all do, and we all talk about that we all do this, we're all very much aware of this. This is not new. Our inner narrator loves to jump in with commentary. Remember, I do these episodes to remind myself of things. I'm not here to preach. I'm here to be a bestie, be a sister, and trying to navigate these crazy thoughts of ours. And I just noticed my inner narrator lately can be kind of a mean girl. So I'm talking to her right now as I'm talking to you, because some of you might have that inner mean girl too. And we are going to shift our perspective because we know better, but that doesn't always mean we do better, right? But it's time to shift and recognize how many beautiful things we have in our life and how beautiful our life has been. That voice is trying to keep you safe, of course, right? Through comparison. And also from a survival standpoint, the brain is evolved to monitor our place in the tribe. But comparison used to mean safety. Knowing where we fit kept us from being left behind. But in the modern world, with millions online, that instinct goes into overdrive. And the narrator is overwhelmed. Poor thing. I mean, she's scanning thousands of highlight reels and trying to make sense of them all. Creating stories like, everyone else is thriving and I'm late. But those stories aren't truth. They're a glitch in a very old survival program. So when that happens, you can gently tell your narrator, hey love, it's okay. That person's path is theirs. We're not behind. We're just on chapter 7, while it seems like they're on chapter 22 of a totally different book. We can't compare our chapters. Your nervous system also may still react. You might feel a little inadequate, that flutter of inadequacy. But each time you catch the story, please just name it, breathe through it. And when you do that, you loosen its grip. That's what I keep trying to remind myself. When I catch myself telling that story, I name it, breathe through it, and it does loosen its grip. So try this simple practice with me this week. Every time you notice that your narrator is labeling something like, I'm late, they're better, I've messed up again, I'm so behind, I'm overwhelmed. Well, okay. According to whom? I'm behind according to whom? I'm not successful enough according to whom? She's happier than me according to whom? Right? Those three words create just enough distance between you and the story to remember you're the listener, not the narration. So maybe today, you just start observing the tone of your inner storyteller. Listen like you would to a podcast host. Curious, not reactive. Notice her themes, her favorite words, her rhythms, and remind yourself that you can always change the channel. Because that's what we're doing this new moon, right? We're turning down the volume of the old narrator and gently beginning to speak in a new frequency. We're going to speak a little kinder to ourselves, but also, we could be honest, but just more us, more you. Let's stay with that voice a little longer, the one that gets loudest when we see someone else shining. Maybe it's a friend announcing a new job or a pregnancy or a proposal or a perfect morning routine. And there's that small ache or that narrator whispering like, should be there tuned by now. Or you're wasting your potential or you're falling behind. This week would have been the week that I gave birth to a baby. But remember, I talked about the miscarriage. Obviously, my narrator is kind of going through it right now. And I have to be gentle with her, give her grace, but also shift her perspective a bit. And yeah, it's a subtle sting. Also part envy, right? When I see people experiencing what I wanted to experience, and also part shame and part longing. But I want to say this clearly. That feeling doesn't make you ungrateful or small. It makes you human. Our brains are wired for social comparison. Psychologists call it upward comparison, right? Measuring ourselves against someone we perceive as doing better. Evolutionarily, it helped us learn by imitation. We saw who was thriving and adjusted our behavior to survive. But the modern world gives our brains too much data and millions of highlight reels again to measure against all day, but also to inspire. Then maybe we need to change our algorithm a bit. And the narrator honestly can't tell a difference between real life and a performance. So she just records, they're doing better, you're not enough. And here's the truth. It's grounding, even if it's a little uncomfortable, but you are not behind. You're just living on a completely different timeline. The narrator gets obsessed with linear time. The idea that everyone should move at the same pace, like a school curriculum for an adult. Right? We got to graduate, got a career, got marriage, got success, got stability. And if we deviate, we assume we failed. But the soul's timeline isn't linear. I have to remind myself all the time. It's seasonal. It's cyclical. It's lunar. Sometimes we're in a blooming season. We feel very visible and expansive and confident. And sometimes we're just a little underground. We're resting. We're rooting. We're integrating. So when the narrator says, look at her thriving, while you're standing still, you can remind her some seeds bloom in summer, some in autumn. I'm not too late. I'm in a different season. And perhaps they came here for a different purpose and to live a different experience in life. And my experience is supposed to be different. And I'm going to bring light to the excitement of what my life looks like and not compare or try to be something that I'm not. And if that feels too soft, then try this. Some people may have a cool life right now or whatever, but I mean, they could be traveling, creating, or succeeding in very visible ways because they post it on Instagram. But your nervous system might not even want their life. Like, might actually, when you really, really look at it, that's not something that your nervous system or your soul, your human, actually wants. Your body might crave slowness or safety or peace. Your spirit might be in a sacred build-up phase, preparing for something that doesn't need to be loud yet. We forget that envy is often a compass, and it points towards something we desire, not something we lack. So if your narrator says that, I wish I had that, well, then you can simply just answer, beautiful. That means my soul recognizes that experience as possible for me someday. Awesome. I know that I can have that. But in my own way, the way that it looks good for me, that my nervous system, my human, my soul will resonate with and be excited by. It's not going to look exactly like theirs. And so I want to bring in a grounded psychological truth here as well, that your inner narrator uses comparison as a way to feel in control. So when life feels uncertain, it clings to data, right? Well, if I just do what she did, then maybe I'll feel safe. But imitation isn't safety. Authenticity is. Comparison is like trying to copy someone else's GPS or coordinates without realizing you're in an entirely different city. And so every time you pause to remember that, your nervous system softens. You're in a different city, totally different city. Your map is going to look so different. Your breath deepens. You begin to feel safe being where you are. And what most of us are actually craving is not someone else's life. It's the sense of ease that they appear to have in it. And you can cultivate that same ease right here without achieving anything new. So maybe the new mantra becomes, I'm not behind, I'm just aligning, and their win doesn't subtract from mine. If it is meant for me, it can't miss me, even if it takes a little longer. You can even make it playful, right? Next time your narrator says, look at her life. Well, okay. You can say back, cute. But we're writing a completely different genre, okay? Okay. Because comparison quiets when compassion speaks louder. So each time you notice the ache, just place a hand on your heart and whisper, I see you. It's okay to want more. It's okay to still be becoming, because that's what you are. You're still becoming. That's not failure. That's life. It's okay, and I see you. So now that we've been connecting with and talking to our inner narrator, we've listened to her stories and we've heard her comparisons and we've softened the edges around them. Well, we get to do something revolutionary. We get to rewrite the script. Okay, and here's the thing. Rewriting isn't about deleting old chapters or pretending the past didn't happen. It's about authorship. It's about picking up the pen mid-sentence and choosing what comes next. Because your brain, the same one that memorized old patterns, is neuroplastic. It can literally rewire itself with new narratives, new associations, new ways of describing who you are. Language changes chemistry. What we say repeatedly becomes the blueprint our nervous system builds around. So let's start small. When your narrator says, I always mess this up, you can breathe and respond, I'm learning how to do this differently. That one shift from identity to process tells your subconscious that we're not stuck. Or when we say, I'm just bad with consistency, then perhaps maybe try instead, I'm discovering rhythms that actually fit me. It's gentle, right? It's a more gentle way of expression, but it's powerful. You're not fighting the voice. You are teaching it a new dialect, one rooted in growth instead of judgment. So what if we did a simple ritual for this new moon week? Sometime this week, take a page from your journal and write a story about your narrator. Write it down. What has your inner narrator been saying? I'm behind. People always leave. I should have been doing this instead this week. I should have been here. I never finish what I start. And then beneath it, write a truer, kinder version. Not a sugar-coated one, of course, but something that feels slightly upgraded, right? Like, instead of I'm behind, if that's what you wrote down, you can write, I'm unfolding at my natural pace. If you wrote something down like, I never finish what I start, maybe instead write, I finish what's aligned and I release what isn't. So whatever it is that you write down, because that's what your inner narrator is always saying, maybe say it out loud. Say the new sentence out loud and feel the vibration in your body and notice how different it feels to inhabit that new sentence. Our cells listen when we speak with conviction. So you can even turn it into art, right? Record a voice note on your new narration or write it on a sticky note and place it on a mirror. Let your environment echo the story you're choosing to live inside. And here's a little deeper layer for the mind. Psychologists talk about self-concept clarity, how clearly we understand and accept who we are. So when your story keeps changing, you might feel unstable, but that's actually growth. It means your identity is expanding and you're experimenting with different narratives until one feels like home. So don't rush to lock it in. Just allow the edits. You're in a creative process. Your life is a living draft. And think of it this way. Your old narrator might have written tragedy, or maybe she thought struggle made you interesting, but you, the author, can keep the depth and add joy. You can turn the tragedy into a transformation arc. Instead of writing, I am broken, you can try, I was cracked open so the light could get in. Or you're not erasing pain, you're contextualizing it. You're giving it meaning that empowers rather than imprisons. And the more often you repeat those new lines through journaling or gentle mantras or self-talk, the more your mind starts scanning for evidence that they're true. And that's confirmation bias, right? Working in your favor now. One day the new voice becomes the default and the old narrator, the one who doubted or compared or apologized for existing, she softens into the background. And she's still there, but she's retired. So this week, whenever your mind starts narrating in old language, pause and remind yourself, I'm the author here. I can change the storyline because rewriting doesn't happen all at once. It happens one sentence or one thought, one compassionate correction at a time. And under this Libra new moon, this energy of balance and harmony, you get to bring balance back to your inner dialogue. All right, so if we've rewritten the script, I'd say that there's still a hidden author in the margins before we close this book. The one who edits in red ink, right? The one who never quite believes the happy ending. That's our shadow narrator. She's the voice beneath the voice. The one who doesn't just tell a story, but she guards it. She's protecting you because she thinks that what she's saying is protection. She's been cataloging every disappointment, rejection, and unmet expectation since childhood. So she's the part of you that says, yeah, don't get too comfortable, okay? Or this is lame and cheesy, spiritual woo-woo. Don't listen to those affirmations. They're not going to do anything. Or remember what happened last time you tried to be like this or do this? She's not trying to sabotage you, right? She's just really trying to keep you safe. Psychologically speaking, this shadow narrator comes from what Carl Jung called the shadow self, the parts of our psyche that we reject or repress because they feel unlovable or inconvenient or unsafe. So when we declare a new story, like I'm worthy or I'm free or I'm loved, she immediately pulls the receipts. Okay, well, then why did that person leave? Or why did that project fail? Or why did that trauma happen? And that's the moment most of us give up. We think, see, the new story isn't true. But in reality, the shadow narrator is just asking for proof that it's safe to believe differently now. She might be seeking reassurance. So instead of silencing her, try inviting her to the table. You know, you might say, hey, I know you're scared, and I know that you've been the one holding the shield while I learned how to fight my way through this, but you can rest now. We're not in danger anymore. We're okay. We're safe. That level of inner communication, it might sound poetic and a little out there, but it's profoundly psychological. You're integrating the nervous system's protective responses into conscious dialogue, and you're giving the limbic system what it needs most, reassurance. Because healing isn't about deleting the old narrative. It's about giving the frightened storyteller inside of you new data, new experiences of safety, stability, love. It's about giving her all this until she realizes she doesn't have to catastrophize every plot twist. And here's a deeper journaling prompt for this part of the work. If my shadow narrator were trying to protect me, what would she do? What would she be afraid of losing if I finally believed I was enough? Maybe she fears losing control. Maybe she fears losing her purpose. Because if you no longer need her constant commentary, what in the world is she good for? What does she do? Where does she go? So you can tell her that you can stay, okay? You can stay. Just take a back seat. You just don't have to steer anymore, okay? Buckle up in the back. We're good. We're going on this ride together. And you might notice the shadow narrator surface when you start to feel good or when life gets calm and your nervous system doesn't know how to relax. Or she might whisper something like, this won't last, or something bad always follows the good. Well, when that happens, pause, breathe, remind yourself, the body is simply adjusting to peace, and peace can feel foreign if chaos used to be your baseline. That's not regression, that's just recalibration. Spiritually, this process is alchemy, turning old narratives into wisdom. You're not erasing the chapters of heartbreak or insecurity or failure. You're distilling them. You're extracting the essence and the courage and the compassion and the self-awareness, leaving the residue behind. I mean, the shadow narrator will always have her say. She will. She'll always be there. But over time, her tone changes. She becomes softer and wiser, a historian rather than a judge. And she remembers, but she no longer defines. As you move through this Libra new moon, consider this the invitation. Balance the light and the shadow within your story. And let both voices exist, but let the loving one lead. When the critic speaks, listen, and then translate. You're not enough actually becomes, oh, you're scared that you won't be chosen because of something that happened in your past. Or when she says you're behind, you can just say, like, you want to feel fulfilled in this area and it will happen. Or you're unlovable. That changes into you just want to feel safe being seen. And beneath every harsh story is a simple plea for belonging. And once you can hear that plea, you can narrate from compassion instead of fear. Because the ultimate magic of rewriting your story isn't becoming someone new. It's meeting the part of you who's been narrating your life in survival mode and saying, thank you. Thank you for protecting me now. Let's write something beautiful together. All right, so standing at the edge of a new lunar cycle, the Libra new moon, which again arrives tomorrow, 8:25 a.m. Eastern time, 5:25 a.m. Pacific. And if you're like me, you're probably not going to wake for it. And that's completely okay. New moons are beginnings, yes, but their energy lingers like morning dew. So you don't have to rise with the stars to align with them. You just have to be willing to notice where life is asking for renewal. The Libra new moon is about harmony and relationships and balance. And balance in this context doesn't mean perfect poise. It means becoming aware of which voice you've been letting lead your life. The harsh narrator, the fearful narrator, or the voice of compassion that's learning to take the mic. This new moon invites you to listen differently and to notice the tone in which you speak to yourself and to rebalance it toward kindness. So maybe tonight or tomorrow, whenever you feel ready, light a candle, breathe in the quiet, whisper your new intention out loud, and say something like, I choose to narrate my life with gentleness, or I choose balance between reflection and forward motion. I choose stories that support my peace. And if you want to take it deeper, then maybe even write a letter to your inner narrator, the past, present, and future. Thank the old one for keeping you safe. Introduce the new one, the balanced voice, the one who can hold both shadow and light with grace. And you might even seal the page and fold it and keep it somewhere sacred. Like a quiet contract between you and your next chapter. And remember, the magic of the new moon isn't in doing everything right. It's in your willingness to begin again and to speak a truer word about yourself or to meet your own mind with tenderness. So whether you wake up after the moon's peak or set your intentions over coffee hours later, you're still right on time. You're participating in the rhythm of becoming. A rhythm that doesn't demand performance, just presence. So as we close today, take one deep breath in. And as you exhale, imagine the old narration, the critical one, the comparing one, dissolving like mist. And what remains is space. Space for your authentic voice to arise. You are both the author and the main character. You are both the listener and the storyteller. And from this moment forward, you get to choose the tone and the language and the story, right? Yep. So maybe you find balance between softness and strength. Or maybe you speak to yourself as though you are someone worth rooting for. In fact, yes, we are definitely going to do that because we are. We are someone worth rooting for. You are. You are. So anyway, if you like this episode, feel free to send it to a friend. That would mean the world. If this episode resonated as well, you can always share your reflections or your new moon stories with me over on my Instagram at Raquel Mantra, RAQUELLE, Mantra, MANTRA. Anyway, with all that being said, I'll connect with you Wednesday for Witchy Wednesday. And thank you for listening. And thank you for your magic.